You're listening to Bugs Radio, and we have Lord Nelson here, Adelheim, Truck Roy, and myself, Miss Albion. How's everybody doing?
Tremendous.
Yeah, fantastic.
And I believe, welcome, Truck Roy. We were wanting to discuss a lot of things tonight, and one thing we would like to hear is your experiences with the mantra, perhaps what got you towards the mantra, your experiences of using it in day-to-day life, and basically anything mantra-related from your perspective.
Sure. Well, it's real simple. What got me going towards the mantra was these two gentlemen right here, Adelheim and Lord Nelson. And we're talking several years ago, but I was piddling around on Stormfront and, you know, just trying to learn things, but I wanted to do something. I was tired of reading stuff. I wanted to do something. And I think it was Lord Nelson who said, hey, man, why don't we come over and start posting on some other websites and use some talking points? And he directed me towards Bob Whitaker's site. Now, I had talked to Bob Whitaker. You know, I wanted to do something. And so I started doing a little podcast on Stormfront, but I had no idea what I was doing or what I was talking about. And I was looking around for someone on Stormfront to interview on a random made-up topic that I came up with. And I noticed that this guy, Bob Whitaker, was willing to talk to anyone. And so I messaged him, and he said, yeah, sure, I'll come talk to you. And about 5 minutes into the show, he just told me that what I was talking about was silly, and he started talking about what he wanted to talk about, which confused the heck out of me, and he basically verbally kicked my butt for the next hour. But I learned a lot, and he says, you know, you really need to come over to my website. And I'd never been there, and I said, no, you know, I'm busy, and da 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 da. But slowly through Lord Nelson and Adelheim teaching me some talking points and stuff, I gravitated towards Bugs. Now, it took me several years to understand the mantra. And this is really frustrating for me, although Whitaker said, well, you know, 2 years to figure it out isn't bad. But to me, I'm looking at a paragraph of words that's very, very simple. We have a very, very simple concept here. It's something a 12-year-old kid could pick up that, you know, white countries are being flooded with massive non-white immigration, and then you have forced assimilation of the white population. That equals genocide. But I had a tough time comprehending that. And I think it was probably 3 or 4 years after I first read it that I posted on Stormfront, you know, I understand what Whitaker's trying to do. He's not trying to tell me what to think. He's trying to teach me how to think. And so, before you came on here, Lord Nelson, we were talking a little bit how so much of our political views do not come from reading all the left-wing books or reading all the right-wing books and making a decision whether we're going to be a conservative or a liberal. So much of our political views are based on our personality types. And I know Bob Whitaker reads a fellow by the name of Eric Hoffer, and I've also read a couple of his books, and he really points that out, that really your politics are based on your personality type. And the least likely revolutionaries are conservatives. And so I'm a conservative, and so are most of the people on Stormfront. And it's very, very difficult for somebody like me to use the mantra, to use it effectively, to understand how it works. I want to explain it. I don't like saying the same thing over and over again, and so it's difficult for me. So my experience is using the mantra. I've slowly learned that it works. I still puzzle about why it works, but it does. And I've learned not to overthink things, not to explain things, just to say things the way they are. And I've learned, you know, I have some specific examples of using the mantra, but more than anything else, what gives me inspiration is seeing other people use the mantra more effectively than I do. And I see that all the time on Bob's sites. I see people who have never heard it before, 5 minutes after they heard it, comprehend it and use it effectively. And I think more and more we're going to be seeing people who in America we would call liberals using the mantra, using the talking points, taking up the charge of white genocide, because they are personality-wise much more prone to use this sort of stuff. And it's just, you know, so historically our point of views have been aligned or been put in a box over with conservatives, but they're not. I mean, we're talking about a human rights issue. We're talking about, you know, does a group of people have the right to exist or should they be exterminated via genocide by assimilation? Well, that's something that anybody can latch onto, and the people who will run with it most effectively, I think, here from here on out in the future, will be people that would I would call liberals historically in the past.
Yeah, you mean not the the regular sort of white nationalist crowd, but
no, because what you have generally seen in Stormfront and on white nationalist stuff is people like me, people who just did not like the way the nation was going. We did not like change. We did not like seeing our neighborhoods being gobbled up. But if it weren't the wolf on our doorstep, we never would have been political at all. Conservatives, by definition, want to conserve the present reality. Revolutionaries, by definition, devalue the current reality 100% and just try to, you know, make a brand new reality over the horizon. And so conservatives are the poorest people to do this, and that's why I've struggled with the mantra for so long. And you know, I do use it effectively now. I last fall I ran for a local political office here, and I talked to some newspaper reporters, and I got a lot of good talking points in those articles and stuff. But I can still look back and realize that someone else could have done a better job, and that's because it's not natural for me. But there are people out there, you know, the same sort of people that would continue repeating, you know, stupid Marxist lines like "we all bleed red." Well, those same personality types are extremely good at repeating, you know, "you're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racist is a code word for anti-white," and they will.
Could you go more into, you say different personality types. Okay, what are the types? Is it conservative, revolutionary, and so forth? Or
no, I mean, a great example is, and Eric Hoffer points this out in his book, True Believer, The True Believer. You know, Goebbels, which was one of Hitler's guys, I think it was him, is one of his propaganda guys or whatever, he said, "I can take a frothing at the mouth red communist and turn him into a Nazi in 2 weeks." Now, why is that? Because at that time, both the communists and the Nazis were drawing from the same group of people. They needed unhappy people. They needed people who were generally on the fringes of society. So you have all kinds of different personality types that fall into that category. Everything from criminals to really, really intelligent people that are bored. This is an interesting category. You have people that are very, very smart, and they could do anything, but they're frustrated and they're bored because they don't have enough hours in the day to do everything. And so these people tend to be revolutionaries. The only group that's really not prone to being revolutionaries are conservatives because they're apolitical. They're, you know, that's how I am. I would not give a care about politics if it weren't that I saw my town being overrun by non-whites. And so you know, the fact that you have that many ticked off conservatives on Stormfront, and if you tick off a conservative enough, he can become a revolutionary. But the fact that Stormfront gets the numbers that it gets shows that there's been a huge energy built up against the anti-white policies. But when it really catches fire, the people that will push it forward will be what we would consider in America, liberal personality types. These are the people who march around with signs, who chant slogans, who take up causes, and that becomes their entire life. And, you know, there's no more righteous cause to take up. You know, if it's a choice between saving the whales and saving the white race, you know, I mean, there's definitely one that hits home a little harder. So I see these people are really going to jump on board.
Yeah, but if they now say that, okay, that is hate or racism to save the white race, stopping white genocide is racism. So is that transformation going to happen?
Well, what's going to happen is they're going to see videos like anti-racist Hitler. See, I think that the most dangerous thing for our opposition, for the hardcore anti-whites, the ones that are actively anti-white, their biggest threat right now is that their most vehement persecutors are going to watch videos like anti-racist Hitler. They're going to read Bob's site, and they're going to flip sides. I can guarantee you it's happening. I mean, probably in small numbers right now, but it's going to build momentum. I mean, something like anti-racist Hitler, and I listened to you guys talking about it before, and this thing is really, really well done. The problem with something like that is it's so well done that someone – there's nothing to argue with in it. So an anti-white can just sit there and watch it, and there's nothing he can really say. It just provokes questions in his head that won't go away. I mean, because, you know, well, you guys talked about before, you know, with Horace, you're taking him down the road he's already familiar with, right? I mean, Hitler's an anti-Semite. He's trying to wipe out the Jews. Oh, wait a minute. He's using the methods that are being used against white population today. So if it's okay to genocide white people through assimilation, but if we did it against Jews or Africans or the people of Tibet, would it still be okay, or would genocide be bad even if it was done with nice words? So, I mean, these are contradictions that cannot be unseen or cannot be unheard. Once a person listens to that video or hears these talking points, there's going to be little seeds sprouted in their head that will not go away. And I think, you know, again, the people who push political causes, whether they're left-wing causes or right-wing causes, usually right-wings don't really push causes. They just constantly retreat, which is what conservatives have been doing in America since the 1960s. But the people actually push causes forward are personality types, and their ideology can flip in a second, and it will.
I can attest personally to what you're saying there, because I didn't come to it the same way you guys did. It wasn't from a long, long time ago. I did used to be seen, though, as revolutionary. I used to go to various demonstrations and protests, and it was never anything to do with race, but it would be against the banking system, New World Order stuff, 9/11, inside job stuff. So I had that kind of personality, whereas I would get behind a cause, and you're right, hold up signs, repeat slogans. When I came to the mantra, of course, everything falls into place and you realise what's really happened. It became fairly easy for me to adopt the mantra way of thinking, i.e., you know, you go out and you're repeating it, you're pointing out the contradictions, you're making it very, very simple. But I absolutely agree with what you're saying, because from my own personal experience, once I began to understand fully the personality type I already had that was being used in other directions through other channels, it was easy to channel it into this, because, like you say, what better cause when you understand what it really is? It wasn't that hard for me, but that was only because I wasn't involved in any of the Stormfront stuff, really. I started to look into that, but really I was involved in going out with these people and doing these kind of protests, so it became fairly simple for me once I understood to jump behind the mantra. So from my own experience, I can say I could absolutely agree that's a real big danger to the anti-whites, because if you do have the personality where you're willing to go out there and get behind something, you put them in the position of knowing the mantra and understanding that this is genocide, they're not afraid to jump on board and do what needs to be done.
It sounds like you're both describing the kind of people that Alex Jones tend to tap into, where a lot of his following comes from. Whatever you think of Alex Jones, my point being is it's like a big silent majority of people out there who are just fed up, they can tell something's wrong, and they're ready to lash out against the banking system, the politicians, etc. And that'd be very interesting, because to me there's a big untapped pool of people, and that's what we've really got to start appealing to, the more mainstream, not just people who are already awake and posting on Stormfront.
Well, you know, Lord Nelson, I won't say they're more mainstream, they're just a different personality type. I mean, there's actually more personality types that are probably prone towards going out and trying to change the world than there are that are conservative. I mean, really, the only two types of people who will not go out and do anything are people who are happy with something in the current reality. They got lots of money or a nice house, or they have something they're trying to conserve in the current reality. Those are conservatives. And then also the desperately poor people who have always been desperately poor. You know, for example, like the people of Cuba are never going to be revolutionary because they've become accustomed to being beaten down. Failed expectations is what really creates revolutionary situations. So, you know, usually, like Bob Whitaker has pointed out, college kids are getting out of college in America today with massive debt that they can't get out of with bankruptcy, and then they have the failed expectation. You know, they get out of college, they think their degree is going to give them an easy job where they can sit in an office and look at a cute secretary and not have to work. All of a sudden, they find out they can't find a job, they're working at Circuit City trying to sell televisions, and they're living in a crummy little apartment. They're unhappy with the world. These are potential revolutionaries. You know, all kinds of different people are revolutionary. The only people who are really not are people like myself, you know, who are kind of fear-based, you know, because, you know, I grew up and saw neighborhoods being taken over, and I didn't want to fight, but I didn't like what was happening. And you know, even somebody like me can be made revolutionary when the circumstances get far enough. But the people who are going to be best at it are the people who are not fear-based, the people who latch on to causes and try to make the world a better place. And, you know, this is an extreme case of, yeah, by not having the white race destroyed, we can definitely make the world a better place. If our people are destroyed, the world's going to be pretty bad. So, and you know, so I think it's not like we're just going after the mainstream or we're going after a certain group of people that are prone to being activists. You know, these personality types are already being used. They're just being used by the other side. So the question is, you know, are we going to, you know, tap into this? Because these are the people that make everything happen. And really, I have a couple good friends locally that are pretty smart guys, and they told me this years ago. They said, you know, leftists are the ones that make things happen. When we start, you know, stopping, when we stop white genocide, it will be the leftists that are doing it. And I mean, I'm not trying to talk down conservatives. I'm one myself, and we've played an important role early on. But when this thing really starts to take off, it'll be those personality types that push it.
Yeah, so it's, you know, some people would say diversity is good, or they will have another talking point. They're sort of talking point type people.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead and repeat that, man. I didn't quite catch it.
We have a lot of people saying diversity is good, diversity is our strength, and so forth. They repeat stuff.
Right.
But in the future, they can rather repeat what we want them to repeat.
Right. And, you know, good talking points can be effective whether they're lies or whether they're truth. But truth is so much easier to do. You know, I mean, if all you need is a couple true talking points that have truth in them, that are pointing out that the emperor has no clothes, you know, that really all this diversity is about blending white people out of existence. Or you know, I love the one that Whitaker mentioned the other day. You know, if diversity is so great, how come you have white flight? If diversity is so great, how come none of the politicians in Washington, D.C. send their kids to inner city schools? You know, if diversity is so great, how come it has to be forced? You know, you point out these simple things, and when somebody's doing that, when somebody's hitting one of those talking points over and over again, it's much more satisfying to them. I mean, you know, even hippies in the 60s, you know, a lot of them were very idealistic. They wanted to make the world a better place. But by 5 or 10 years down the line, a good majority of them, you know, the thing was already done. I mean, it was already over with pretty much. But a good majority of them had buyer's regret. A lot of them, you know, said, well, where did it go wrong? Because they realized once everything became very Marxist that these slogans were hollow. They weren't true. And they were good at repeating them, but they knew deep down they were lies. When you're repeating something that is true, it's satisfying and it means something. You know, and it, you know, it's gonna unleash a lot of energy. And, you know, I see now Whitaker talking on his site about afterwards, after this thing, because he already realizes that it's basically reached critical mass. You can always lose it. You can always fail, you know, but we've got a winning formula right now. And after this energy's starting to be released, already there's people on the other side. You know, aside from the true believers, the people that are on the ground pushing stuff, you got the guys that are you know, the puppet masters over there on the left. And these guys are really evil at the top. I mean, not only are they anti-white, they know they're anti-white. Yes. You know, because the average college kid may be anti-white. You know, the average kid, you know, posting up on some website or something, he may be anti-white, but he thinks that he's not. But the guy
thinks he's anti-racist.
Right, right. That's what he thinks. And so, you know, as he starts to realize that what the score is, the people who are pulling his strings are going to start panicking, and they're going to realize there's a tremendous amount of energy that's built up against the massive non-white immigration into white countries, and they're going to try to subvert that energy and use it in an evil way. Because they can flip sides too, and they're going to try to use it in an evil way. And that's why I think Whitaker is starting to say, you know, once we start, you know, whooping this thing, we really need to start. We need to stay in formation. You know, he always uses the example of the Roman legions or whatever. You know, don't break formation. Stay on mantra thinking. Don't get wrapped up once this cause starts to really succeed and make it into another wordism.
Yeah.
Don't snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. I think that's
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very interesting as well with the mantra. One thing that I know is with me and others I've spoken to is when people hear it for the first time, they don't quite know what they've heard. And this is something Horace has talked about often, but it sticks with them. You can't quite shake it. Even if you don't get it, even if you hate it when you first hear it, it's something completely new. And because it's tapping in to all the years of, you know, demoralization, indoctrination, most people don't understand it, but it's something that you can't ignore at the same time either, which is
something... That was my experience. I mean, as I read the mantra for the first few times on Stormfront, I literally could not comprehend the meaning of that paragraph. I mean, any given sentence in it, I understood basically, and I said, yeah, of course, whatever. Okay, now what's the meaning of this? I literally had a mental block or a blind spot because I had been so demoralized and so conditioned to question everything, to be in a fear-based mindset that I literally could not comprehend. And I'm not a stupid person. I'm a moderately to a fairly intelligent person. And yet I couldn't understand something that a 12-year-old kid could read for the first time and pick up instantly. And that is because conditioning works. Even though I was opposed to the destruction of my people, I was in such a bunker mentality.
Still kind
of. Right. Right. And, you know, that in itself was a revelation to me. You know, that's why I kept coming back to it. That's why I stuck with it for 2 years, and I kept coming back to Whitaker's site, and I interviewed him several times. I was trying to understand what the hell he was saying. I mean, I knew it was very simple, but why could I, as a fairly intelligent person, not comprehend this? And because when you're heavily conditioned, you don't know that you're that heavily conditioned.
Yes. Chuck Roy, can I just say that's a good point? And me and Adelheim spoke about it in one of the podcasts. Even though you are pro-white, it doesn't mean to say you're not carrying some psychological baggage from the thousands of hours of conditioning that we've all had. And a lot of the so-called pro-whites, they're actually the mirror image of the anti-whites, to the point that if they didn't exist, the anti-whites would have to invent them. They are the basic message of the anti-white establishment is you either accept multiculturalism or you are a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. And then
basically guys like me will say, okay, I'm a Nazi that wants to kill 6 million Jews then. I'm a racist. You know, whatever. Tough shit.
And yeah, they fall into the conditioning.
And you
right.
hear
so,
it a lot on Facebook, various places. They say, all right, you call me a Nazi, you call me a racist, I am then.
Yeah.
Basically,
right. and
when you brainwash someone into believing that you either must become this, or if you don't become this, then by default you are that. And they suddenly become that other thing, the mirror. What they are, the other side of the actual mind conditioning that we all go through. And some of us manage to come through it just carrying a little bit of baggage, but we can kind of see through it. And others either become demented anti-whites, or people who like to you know become the sort of caricature, the kind of Nazi who didn't even exist back in Nazi Germany in the 1940s. Does that mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, it happens to a person without him even knowing it. And, you know, I didn't realize, you know, how far I had gone into a bunker mentality until luckily I started talking to you, sir, and to Mr. Adelheim, and you guys started me on a good path.
Oh, cheers, Truck Roy. It was good to be on your show back in those days.
Yeah.
In the old days.
The good old days.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, but now we have, you know, anti-white saying, I'm not anti-white, but... So it has changed a lot.
Yeah. But one of the other things as well is we see so much new talent coming through. I mean, I only got to know Miss Albion in the last couple of months. Obviously, me, yourself, and Adelheim, we've been around for a couple of years. But then you look on Bugs and on the Swarm, and there's new faces and younger people coming through. And that, and I'm just waiting for that next star to appear. You know, kind of like Horus. We need another four or five Horuses. You know. And anyhow.
Yeah. Speaking about that, like, I mean, you guys have spoken to him before, the 14-year-old that we know, and it's interesting in your point, Chuck Roy, about him saying the quote of taking a communist and making them a Nazi in 2 weeks. This kid was a communist. Because he realised something was wrong, he wanted to speak up, he has the revolutionary tendencies, so of course he went to what's most prevalent out there, which would be, you know, anti-Zionist, anti-banking, but fully communist, you know, there was no racial thinking in his mind as such. So he tapped into it and went down that road, and my fiancé, who's also, he introduced me actually to Bob's stuff, it was him, he saw the mindset and the personality, and he said, I can do something with this kid. I can introduce him to Mantra. He's got the mind for it, which is what you were saying, the personality. And this kid is a Mantra machine. I mean, he goes everywhere, and I've seen him battle it out with full-grown men, all attacking him, and he is fantastic. And he was talking to me a couple of days ago, and he was talking about his experience and how he couldn't quite get it at first, but the Mantra wouldn't go away. When he was first introduced, he wanted to disregard it, but it was still there somehow, bothering him. He said, it really bothered me. It just wouldn't go away. It was niggling me. So the more he started to come towards it, when he fully realised, he talked about how angry he was. He was so angry at what had been going on. When the penny dropped, how angry he was. So he went from denying it and trying to shake away the Mantra. He couldn't do that because it had tapped into something. Then when he thought, okay, I'm going to have it out with this Mantra. I'm going to see what's what. He said he became so angry because he knew what had gone on. And then now he's gone all the way, and he's a fully-fledged white rabbit. So he went from a communist, and this was in the space of probably only about 6 months. And he is one of the best. Even he goes into his school, and he brings up Mantra talking points with the teachers because, of course, they get a lot of anti-white filth pushed upon them. And for the sake of the class, he will make points towards the teacher, and the teachers don't quite know how to handle it either. So it's definitely relevant, the personality type, because this kid was nowhere near pro-white. But at the moment, you know, he's one of the finest white rabbits I know when I see him in action. And he's 14 years old. So I think there is a new generation completely receptive to this.
And that's a very interesting thing, you know, which Truck Roy brings up. We're talking about how to appeal to people or recruit people or, you know, what type of people, where should we look? And of course, a lot of people look to Stormfront. But then again, we see that people on Stormfront tend to argue a lot more. There are some people there, but tend to argue why it doesn't work. And then they have some other abstract theory or something. But as Chuck Roy pointed out, you had to look in another direction to find people to push the message.
I do believe it's a thing with the whole... Like the 14-year-old that Miss Alden's talking about, there's a lot of those out there, and that's what we have to tap into it and get them on side. And the thing about it, not being a racial element, it is the anti-whites who bring the racial element into it, as we all know, by demanding mass immigration and assimilation into all white countries and only white countries, and branding you a racist or a white supremacist if you don't go along with it. So there is a racial element, but we're simply, we are not the ones creating it. We're the ones that are actually reacting to it. And I know you already know this, but just making it clear for the benefit of anybody new listening to this. But I hope there's a lot more like that 14-year-old you were talking about, Miss Albin. We need more of them all across the white world and in every white country, more of them coming through.
Absolutely. There's another two that we've had some contact with that he knows as well. And we were in a discussion recently, and half of them, pretty much the whole group, were pro-white to some degree. And it was very much like speaking to people on Stormfront. They were being pro-white but against the mantra. So they were telling me, well, it's not intellectual enough, which, of course, we hear from Stormfront. You know, we're not repeating slogans. And then they refused to bear in mind that is exactly what has worked. Nobody philosophizes their way out of a genocide. It's not philosophy and intellectual conversation that's got this across. It's propaganda.
Miss Albia, you were talking about how there's people, you know, a lot of people on Stormfront stuff who don't like repeating things over and over again. They say a lot of this stuff's not intellectual, and you're saying that there was a couple guys that were picking up on that?
Yes. It was a bunch, like I say, a bunch of us all pro-white, but pro-mantra, anti-mantra, and there were some that weren't fully on side with the mantra, but having this discussion and listening to us talk in regards to anti-racist Hitler as well, the anti-mantras were talking about, well, you need to put your point across more eloquently, includes crime statistics. They were referencing Jared Taylor. Now, I don't dispute Jared Taylor does a job, but a consistent message, it's what's been used against us. Agree to this genocide or you're a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. Scream racist, get your own way. It's really as simple as that. It is talking points, it is, you know, a consistent message. And there was a couple that were listening that were starting to see, well, actually, what's been used against us isn't what these guys are claiming we need to use to counter. It's simply the screaming word racist, you know, the screaming,
right,
shouting slogans.
Right.
You want to shut a white person up for the past 20 years or so, what do? You call them racist. Easiest thing in the world, but that doesn't work with us because, well, in your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racist, co-word for anti-white. You are flipping the script. You're turning the situation around, and anti-whites don't know how to deal with it at all because they're used to screaming racist, everyone runs for the hills, or says, oh, I've got black friends. I'm not racist.
Right, right. And
it's flipped it.
They're saying racist is a hate word used by haters. That's one of Bob's new ones. Racist is a hate word. We should really start using that, I feel.
I like that. And I'll tell you, Lord Nelson, as much as people like myself were in a bunker mindset defensively, the opposition has no defenses. They have not been on the defensive. And so when you put them on the defensive, they're in totally new territory and they don't know what to do because they're used to calling you names. When you start calling them names, when you start pointing out that they're anti-white, they're in a very unfamiliar situation and they react very poorly.
They're so used to white people sort of curling up in a ball and getting all defensive when they get accused of racism. And they're so used to it as well as they've been pushing what amounts to the genocide of a specific ethnic group for the last 30, 40, 50 years or more. And they've never been called on it. You know, their actual victims have become defensive and try to justify their right to exist instead of calling them on the crime that's being committed against them. So I do believe that we are probably the first group it bugs. If you had to sort of sum up the mantra and what it's all about, it is about pointing to the crime being committed. For the first time, the victims are standing up and calling out their attackers. We're actually pointing the finger and accusing the people who are attacking us. And we're calling them what they are. We're not trying to justify our right to exist. I mean, talking about black crime stats is like complaining that the guy who stole your car had a drink driving record. It's ridiculous. You point to the crime being committed. You do not try to justify. You go on the attack and you accuse your attackers for the crime that they are in the process of committing. All white countries and only white countries, it's genocide. Anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. Racist is a hate word used by haters to attack a specific ethnic group.
I love that. I love that last one. I had not heard that before. Racist is a hate word used by haters to attack a specific ethnic group.
You could even just say racist is a hate word and leave it at that. The shorter you can make it, the better. By the way, I can't claim credit for it. It comes from Bob. Or if Bob's not listening, give me the credit. I'm glad I thought of that one.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to have to start using that. You know, I know we're about to wrap up here, but I was editing down you guys' last show that you did. And there was two things, and, you know, again, I'm a conservative guy. My experiences are from a person who is conservative, put into a, demoralized, fear-based mindset and slowly working my way out of it. And so what I'm about to say probably doesn't matter to those people who pick up the mantra immediately and get a good grasp of it. But for the others out there that are similar to myself and do have to be explained, things have to be explained to them, there was two elements I picked up from you guys' last show that I think are very, very critical for people like myself to understand. Number one is flip the script. Instead of trying to explain things, never, never, ever try to explain your arguments to people or your positions. Instead, flip the script. And we do this in the mantra when we say, you know, if I told a black man that I wanted to flood every black country with hundreds of millions of non-blacks, what kind of psycho black man wouldn't stand up and say this is genocide? That's flipping the script. You know, use the methods they use against us and try them on some other protected group and flip the script. That's principle number one. And then the other principle that I haven't heard mentioned as much is one that Horace made apparent to me in that last video, the anti-racist Hitler, is that humor is absolutely essential. And he talked about this when he was talking to you guys. You know, a lot of people like myself go from, hey, I just want to get along with everybody. I'm not happy about my neighborhood getting overrun, but I'm just going to try to get along with everybody. And then they go from there to being angry and defensive and fear-based. If you want to make the proper transition, you have to have humor in between. And he talked about this in relation to a con artist, that, you know, if a person's been conned, their first reaction is denial. You know, like me when I was young. Okay, everybody's the same. This is not really working out so good, but I'm going to pretend that everything's okay, denial. And then the proper transition that person makes from denial has humor involved in it. Yes, let's laugh at this. Come on. This diversity stuff is a joke. I mean, nobody's pushing diversity in black neighborhoods. Nobody's pushing diversity in Asian countries. It's white countries and only white countries and white counties and only white counties. It's only where white people live that you have anti-racist councils and diversity councils and so on and so forth. It's a joke. Laugh at it, okay? And then once you get to that, then you can go to being angry at the con artist. But that humor in between is absolutely essential, and I think that's one of the things that really makes that video work. And so those two points really came home to me from you guys' last podcast. Number one, don't explain things, just flip the script. And number two, humor is absolutely deadly. Do not give up humor. I'm not a very humorous person. I will make an attempt to be humorous because it's that effective.
Absolutely, yeah. Mocking the anti-whites, I find, is a really effective tactic. I do it often, and you get people that see it that perhaps wouldn't be pro-white, but they get what you're saying. You know, you can break it down in something really simple, like, well, we need affirmative action and diversity quotas because skin color doesn't matter.
Right.
And it's very effective, you know, and you're mocking it so openly and obviously, and you're just pointing out the obvious, the contradictions, and you're mocking it. And people do start to see it when you put it in that simple term, when you mock it for how ridiculous it is. It's really effective.
Miss Albin, can I just quickly, before I forget, sorry, Truck Roy, Horace made a casual comment in that last recording, and I thought it was brilliant when I first heard it, when we were actually recording it. And I listened to it again, and I think we could actually run with this as well. It was just a casual throwaway comment in the middle of the conversation when he said, multiculturalism is a scam. Now, that's something that we probably all said thousands of times in the past. We've all seen other people say it. But when Horace said it that time, it just struck a note with me, like a light bulb went on my head. Could you imagine literally hundreds or even thousands of white folks marching down the streets of Washington, D.C. or London wherever it is, whatever white country it is? Multiculturalism is a scam. Shorter, the better. Short and sweet. You know, you still use the other ones. I'm not saying throw everything else away and just do this. I'm just saying it's another little tool in the toolbox. You know, absolutely. Racist is a hate word. Multiculturalism is a scam. Anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. Da da da. We can go on. We need more of these little short stabbing points, and we need to use them repeatedly and repeat them. But multiculturalism is a scam. Simple as.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I did want to say before we wrap up: any bugsters out there, on June the 9th, the Bilderberg conference is going to be just outside of London. So if there's anyone from the London area that wants to get together to mantrify it somewhat, I'm going to, and it might be good to have a few numbers there. And in regards to what we were talking about earlier, I'm taking it, you're going to get the Alex Jones types there, possibly him himself. I just think it would be a great opportunity. You're going to have people that always go and protest at these things. It garners quite a bit of publicity, so I think it's a good opportunity to mantrify this event. So could you just leave something up on Bugs if you're interested in a few of us getting together and going and doing something mantra-based there?
Yes, Alvin, I think it's a brilliant idea. If it was possible for me to make it personally, I really would. I would love to be standing right next door to you, right next door to you. With a big sign, I hold one half of the sign, right? And it just says, anti-racist is a code word, anti-white or bleach.
Absolutely, I'd love to have you there. Because we could get people asking questions, what's this about? You know, the more publicity, the better.
And there's another guy standing next to us in a 6-foot bunny rabbit costume. Racism is a scam. And another one. On the other side of us, another guy in a big 6-foot bunny costume, right? And he's got a big sign and it says, racist is a hate word. So I'm repeating these things constantly for a reason. I want to try and get everybody to use it. And anybody listening out there who's interested in doing a podcast or doing something with us, get in touch, you know. And we're always looking for more people to come through. And please send your comments. Let us know what you think of what we're doing here. That's my bit.
All right, sounds good. You guys want to wrap it up?
Yes.
All right, well, I guess this has been another Bugs podcast, my first Bugs podcast, and it's been a pleasure to be here. See you guys in a month or so.
Thanks, Truck Roy. That was great.
Yeah, thank you. It's been great to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
See you guys.